lead us in that very uplifting hymn, Stepping in the Light. Thank you, David, for your prayer. Appreciate that good prayer very much, brother. And thank you, Steve, for that very good reading of the scripture that you gave for us there from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I encourage each and every one to keep your Bibles opened up there to 1 Timothy chapter 3, for we're going to be spending the majority of our time in that text there this morning as we continue our series of lessons on the eldership. As many of you recall, last Sunday we began a series of studies on the eldership. We took time last Sunday morning to express the need for an eldership, and we talked Sunday night about the kind of men needed as elders in the church. And since we have a good understanding of the need for an eldership, we're going to take some time this morning to talk about some qualities that are needed for a man to serve as an elder. You see, it is very important to know the qualifications which are necessary for a man to serve as an elder in the church. And as we learn in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there are certain musts that a man must be in order for him to serve as an elder in the Lord's church. And in this study this morning, we're going to focus our time on the qualifications for an elder. And it's important that we all recognize that to serve as an elder, a man must meet certain qualifications. These qualifications are set forth in the all-inspired word, as we just had read for us a few moments ago there from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And also, as we see there in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And although there are many today who have a misconception in regard to thinking that a man doesn't have to possess certain qualities to be appointed as an elder, we must understand that there is to be no misconception. We need to understand that there are certain qualities that a man must meet in order to serve as an elder. And we're going to take our time to go through those qualities this morning. As many of you here at Belleville recall, a few months ago, we took some time to go through a series of lessons in our adult Bible study on 1 Timothy and Titus. And we blocked a period of time to specifically talk about the qualifications of an elder in that class period. And we was able to expound a little bit more upon some of those qualifications that are set forth in the scriptures. This morning, I'm not going to be able, for time's sake, to really expound a whole lot upon each and every individual qualification that we see in the scripture. But we are going to give a summary of what those qualifications look like and what that means. And I just want to stop there for a moment to let you know that as we begin to go through these different qualifications that are necessary for a man to possess to serve as an elder, if you see any qualification that you have question about in regard to its meaning, if I fail to adequately explain that, please feel free to approach me about that. I will be more than willing to take the time to study about any questions or that concerns or anything that you may not understand. I would be more than happy to take the time to sit down and study those things with you. But we need to understand that these qualifications that are set forth in Titus and 1 and 1 Timothy 3 are a must. That key word must is found there as we see there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2 when it says, a bishop then must, key word must. You see, that key word must, it expresses the necessity of something. Therefore, these qualifications for an elder are not optional, but rather they are required. They are necessary. And we're just going to dive right into these qualifications, beginning with there in Titus chapter, or 1 Timothy rather, chapter 3 and verse 1. And going back to the reading that Steve gave to us, it says there in verse 1, this is a faithful saying. To be simply put, what Paul is saying is this is true. This is true. He says, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Here's the first qualification that we find in regard to a man serving as an elder. And that qualification is a simple one. It is a general qualification, that being that he must be a man. That's easy to understand, isn't it? You see, unfortunately, there are many today who do not follow this qualification. There are unfortunately some churches today that are appointing women to the eldership. And we can see here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 that it's a faithful saying that if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. We also see this expressed there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 6. And this general qualification here would exclude women from serving as an elder. But we also see the qualification given there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 that a man who desires desires a good work. And it's important to note that this is a qualification for the eldership. A man must desire the work. You see, the word desire means to have the effort as one who stretches out for something he longs for. That's what that word expresses. That desire for having that effort of one who stretches out for something he longs for. And we need to be mindful that one who serves as an elder must have a desire to do that work. We see here in verse 1 that it is a work. It's a work. There's going to be work involved in that. And a man who serves as an elder must have that desire to do that work. It's important to note that there are some men who think that expressing their desire to do that work means that they have to be like a politician and going around and campaigning for the eldership. That's not what that means. We're not to be going around acting like a politician, campaigning for the eldership, and go around telling people, hey, I'd like to be an elder. Can I have your vote, so to speak? That's not what that means. But we need to let it be mindful, others be mindful, that we do have the desire to serve as an elder. And we need to understand on the flip side of that coin that a man should not be pressured to serve as an elder. There are some men who are pressured, so to speak, to serve as an elder. And brethren, we need to be mindful not to put the pressure on any man to serve as an elder and to do something that he doesn't fully desire to do. I want us to think about that for a moment. I mean, think about how good of a job that man would do if he was pressured into doing something that his heart really wasn't in. How good of a job would that man do as serving as an elder? He probably wouldn't be up to par, would he? You see, we need to understand that this is an important qualification for those who serve in the eldership. They must have that desire to serve as an elder. They must have that desire, that commitment to do the work that will be before them of leading the local flock. Now, although we're not to pressure men to take on the responsibility of an elder, we certainly need to be doing our part in encouraging those men whom we feel meet the qualifications that are set forth in the Scriptures to serve as elders. But another qualification that we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is there in verse 2 when it's recorded, a bishop then must be blameless. It's important to note that this word blameless carries the thought of being free from blame or guilt. This doesn't mean that a man is to be perfect. That's not what that's saying. We all recognize that no man is perfect. There was only one perfect one. And that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what this is saying here is it denotes one in whom no evil charge can be sustained. Men who serve as elders must not be one who is guilty of evil, in which an evil charge can be sustained, but rather he must be blameless. We see the importance of this there in Titus's account, there in Titus chapter 1. And notice in Titus's account, we see this qualification given not only in verse 6, when he says, if a man is blameless, but also in verse number 7, when he says, for a bishop must be blameless. We see that given twice in Titus's account, there in Titus 1, 6, and in 1, 7. But not only must a man be blameless, he must also be the husband of one wife, as we see there in verse number 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We also see this there in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 6. It's important to note that this is a personal qualification, and this personal qualification shows that a man must be married to be an elder. That's important because that would then exclude single men, men who are not married from being a elder. But we also learn something more important about this as well, is he must be the husband of one wife. Simply put, he must be a one-woman man. That's what that means. That simply means that this man who is to be appointed to the eldership, he cannot be one who practices polygamy. He cannot be one who is married to more than one woman at a time. There are some questions that arise over this qualification. Sometimes the question arises if a man was married before and his spouse dies and then he remarries, is he able to be an elder? And that's a good question. And the answer to that question is yes. How do I know the answer to that question? Because the Bible, being its own best commentary, tells us in Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, that death dissolves that marriage bond. And if a man was married before and his wife dies, he is no longer bound to that wife. That marriage has been dissolved. There is no longer he's no longer bound to her. And we see there in Romans chapter 7, and I encourage you to write that down and take time to read that on your own. But we see there as a summary in Romans chapter 7 that person is then free to remarry. And as long as they're in a scriptural marriage, he is still a one-woman man. He's still married to one woman, and he would be qualified to serve as an elder. But not only must he be blameless and the husband of one wife, but he must also be temperate. That is important. This is a very important quality that is needed for men who serve as elders. This quality simply denotes exercising self-control. Without a doubt, this is an important quality needed for those who desire the office of a bishop. Those who have a short fuse and those who are quick to express anger, they would not meet this qualification, would they? And therefore, they would not be good to be appointed as an elder. You see, a man who cannot control himself in all situations is not qualified to be an elder. That's an important qualification that we need to be aware of, that is needed for a man to serve as an elder. He must exercise self-control. But another quality that a man must possess to serve in the eldership is he must be sober-minded. It's important to note that this simply means being of sound mind. You see, it's important for an elder to be of sound mind, isn't it? You see, being an elder is serious business. We talked about that last week. We talked about how there is no greater responsibility on earth than that of overseeing the souls of men. It's serious business. And those men must have the ability to make responsible, sensible, and prudent decisions. Therefore, it's important that an elder must be sober-minded. But another thing that's required of a man who serves as an elder is for him to be of good behavior. You see, this simply denotes that a man of good behavior is one who is living a well-ordered life in compliance to God's will. That's the kind of men that the Lord is looking for to oversee the souls of men. Men who is living a well-ordered life in compliance to God's will. Simply put, an elder must be well-behaved. They must be well-behaved. And they must be one who is living a life which is worthy of imitation, worthy of being acceptable to the will of God. But we go on to see that an elder must also be hospitable. We see this there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 as well, and as Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. And hospitality can be defined as the friendly and generous reception of guests, visitors, or strangers. We all recognize what it means to be hospitable. And it's important that we understand that an elder must be one who is generous and loving towards guests and strangers. That is a quality that is needed for men who serve in the eldership. They need to be hospitable. But they also must be able to teach. You see, this is an ability qualification. That is found there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2. And this ability qualification expresses the need for an elder to be one who is able to teach others. It's important, isn't it? We can see the importance of this there in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 9. In regard to the qualifications that are set forth there for a man who must hold fast to the faithful word as he has been taught. Why? That he may be able. Now watch this. This is important. By sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You see, it has been said before that this doesn't mean that a man must be apt to teach anything. That's not what that means. But it means that he is apt and able to teach by sound doctrine the things that he has been taught. That is important. And elders must know God's word. They must have the ability to accurately and effectively teach it to others. But another qualification given for an elder is an elder is not to be given to wine. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3 and in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 7. And this simply denotes that an elder must abstain from intoxicating drink which could impair his judgment. We talked earlier about the need for elders to be sober-minded, the need for them to be of sound mind. And here is a qualification given to where elders must not be given to wine. They must abstain from wine, intoxicating drink, things which could impair his judgment. And I want you to think about something. This is something that I was brought to my attention during the study that really put in perspective for me the need for elders not to be given to wine. And that is the fact that the Lord has never approved of being given to wine, especially those who are leaders among his people. Do you know that? Are you aware of the fact that the Lord has never approved of being given to wine, but especially among those who are leaders among his people? To show that, I want to take us to Leviticus chapter 10. Follow me, if you will, there to Leviticus chapter 10. And here in Leviticus chapter 10, beginning here in verse number 8, It's recorded. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, now watch this. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. That illustrates very well for us the fact that God, the Lord our God, does not approve of the leaders among His people to be given to wine or intoxicating drink. And the same goes today for the leaders of God's people. They are not to be given to wine. But we also see another qualification given for us there in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that a man who desires the office of a bishop or an elder is not to be violent. This simply means that an elder must not be a brawler. If you was paying attention following along with Steve's reading of the scripture as he was giving us that scripture reading a few moments ago from 1 Timothy chapter 3, he was reading from the King James Version. And it specifically said he must not be a brawler. And that's what this denotes. It denotes that a man must not be violent. He must not be prone to violence. He must not be ready to blow. He must simply be one who is under control, keeps his emotions under control, as we talked about earlier. And simply put, an elder must not be one who becomes physically violent with others. That's an important quality. Those elders, or those men rather, who are prone to physical violence, they are not qualified to serve as an elder. For we see here that an elder must not be violent. But we also see that an elder must not be greedy for money, there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. We also see this in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. You see, a man who desires the work of an elder, he must not be a lover of money. He must not be one who is eager for financial gain. You see, an elder realizes that the love of money is the root of all evil. An elder realizes that. It's a root of all kinds of evil. We learn about that, don't we? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And an elder, a man who desires the position of an elder, he must not be a lover of money. He must not be greedy for money. His focus must not be upon money, but rather, where does his focus need to be? Upon the souls of men. That's where his focus needs to be. But we also see that an elder must be gentle there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3. This simply denotes that a man must be kind, mild, and compassionate. This quality is the opposite of being harsh. And this is a quality that goes a long way in dealing with others. You see, a man who serves in the position of an elder, he's going to deal with a variety of things as he oversees the local flock. There's going to be a variety of things that will come along in which that man's going to be involved in taking care of. Some of those things may be difficult at times. There may be some emotions that may be high during some of those times. And it's because of that that man's going to need to be able to keep himself under control. He's going to have to keep his emotions in check. But he's also going to have to be gentle. He's going to have to possess a kind disposition. He's going to have to be one who is mild-mannered and compassionate. You see, unfortunately, I have known of some elders who lacked compassion. There are, unfortunately, some men who serve in that capacity who absolutely lack compassion. They're harsh. They rule with an iron fist, so to speak. It's my way or the highway. And we need to understand that this is not the disposition that is to be needed for those who serve in an eldership. Rather, they must be gentle. And this is going to include a variety of things. One of those things is going to include exercising patience. A man who desires the office of an elder must possess patience. And that quality of gentleness will go a long ways in his dealing with others. But another quality in regard to those who serve as elders is they must not be quarrelsome. Simply put, a man who serves in the office of an elder must not be contentious, but rather he must be one who is willing to listen, willing one who has an open mind, one who is not always looking for a fight. You see, unfortunately, there are some men who want to argue about anything and everything under the sun. They're quarrelsome. They're contentious. And those who serve as an elder, they must not be quarrelsome. They must not be contentious. But rather, and they must abstain from fighting. They must be one who abstains from constantly being argumentative. You ever talk with somebody like that? Somebody who wanted to argue about anything you said to them, anything and everything. I venture to say we probably have known some like that, right? Men who are like that are not qualified to serve as an elder. We need to be mindful of the fact that elders must not be quarrelsome. But we also see that elders must not be covetous. You see, this implies an inordinate desire for another's possession. As good Bible students, we recognize that this is commanded in many places in the Scriptures. Many places throughout the Scriptures command for men not to be covetous. And an elder, he recognizes the need not to be covetous. He is not going to be one who's going to have an inordinate desire for others' possessions and wealth, but rather he's going to recognize that godliness with contentment is great gain. We learn about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. And a man who serves as an elder, he's also going to be one who is going to be content with such things as he has, and his conduct will be without covetousness. We learn about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. But we also learn in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the need for one who serves as an elder to rule his own house well. It's important to note that this word rule here comes from the Greek word translated for manage. And it means to be at the head, to direct or care for. Simply put, a man who serves as an elder must be the head of his home. He must have his family in order and under control. And we see the importance of this emphasized here in the text, going back there to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 4. When Paul gives this qualification as he was guided by the Holy Spirit, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And he tells us why that's important in verse 5 when he says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his house well, how will he take care of the church of God?" It's a good question, isn't it? Again, we're going to, Lord willing, next Sunday, talk about the threefold responsibility of the elders. And in that lesson, we're going to talk about the responsibility that the elders have to oversee the flock. The responsibility that they have to shepherd the flock. To feed the flock. To care for the flock. The responsibility that they have to watch out for the souls of the local flock. When you put that in perspective, you realize the great responsibility that is going to be upon that man to make sure that the local flock is in order. And if a man cannot keep his family in order, if a man cannot lead his own family, rule his own family well, having his wife and his children in subjection, how is he going to rule the house of God? You see that? Very important that we understand that a man who serves as an elder must have his family in order and under control. But we also see there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 the need for a man who serves as an elder for them to have faithful, that is, believing children. There in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 6, the qualification laid forth there is having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. We can gain a couple things from this qualification. First and foremost, we can gain that a elder must be one who has children. A man who has no children is not qualified to serve as an elder. But it is required. It is a qualification that is required of men who serve as an elder for them to have children. It's important to note that the American Standard Version says here in this text, having children that believe. The New King James reads, having faithful children. The American Standard Version simply renders it, having children that believe. And it's important to note that this word faithful or believe is used to refer to one who is a Christian. That's important. Not only must a man have children, but his children must be Christians. You see, a man who has children and his children may not be of age to be Christians yet, or they may be of age, but yet they haven't submitted their life in obedience to the Lord, is not qualified to serve as an elder. That qualification alone would rule myself out at this time. I have children, but right now my children are not Christians. I have a 7-year-old and almost a 3-year-old. Right now, my children are not Christians. And because of that, I don't have faithful children at this time. And that alone would disqualify me, myself, from serving as an elder at this time. But not only must a man have faithful children, it's important to note also that his children must not be accused of dissipation or insubordination. That word dissipation there simply denotes riot. The word insubordination denotes unruly. And we need to understand that an elder must be both the father of faithful children, and his children must not be unruly. That's important. A man who has children who are unruly, man who has children who is accused of dissipation or insubordination, would be disqualified to serve as an elder. But we also see, in going back to Timothy's account there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 6, that a man who desires office of an elder must not be a novice. Simply put, this means that he must not be a new convert, one who recently has become a Christian. You see, it's important to note that the word elder itself is in regard to that which denotes maturity. And a man who serves in the position of an elder needs to be mature in the faith. We see why this is important also there in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. When the qualification was given, when the requirement not to be a novice was given, it goes on to say, why? When it says, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. You see that? That's why it's important not to be appointing new converts, those who are not mature in the faith as an elder, lest they be puffed up, filled with pride. And he goes on to say, and fall into the same condemnation of a devil. You see, we can read into that another qualification that must be given in regard to those who serve as an elder. And that is that of humility. Humility. You see, a man who desires the office of an elder must not be a novice. He needs to be mature in the faith, and he must be humble. But the last qualification that we see found for men who desire the position of an elder there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 is that he must have a good testimony, that is a good report from those on the outside. It's important to note that when it talks about those who are on the outside is in regard to those who are not members of the church. You see, not only must a man who desires the position of an elder have a good report from those within, but he must also have a good report of those without, those who are not members of the Lord's church. He must be held in high esteem by those not only within, but also those on the outside. It's been said that men who desire the position of an elder, their neighbors and their co-workers need to be asked, "What do you think about that guy? What do you think about him?" And if they are held in high esteem by those on the outside, if they have a good and honorable reputation, they are going to be one who's going to have a good testimony from those on the outside. And this is important, isn't it? This is very important. Because one's influence of an elder must be for good, not for bad. Again, men who serve in the position of an elder are to be examples to the flock. They're to lead by example. And their influence as an elder must always be for good. They must have a good and honorable reputation. They must have a good testimony from those within and those without. Once more, it is very important to know the qualifications that are required of an elder. And may we all remember that a man must meet all, and I repeat, must meet all of the qualifications set forth in God's all-inspired word in order to serve as an elder. As we talked about a few moments ago, one of those responsibilities that a man who serves as an elder is going to have is that of overseeing one's soul. And it's important that we understand that one's soul is their most valuable possession. There is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing worth losing your soul for. Therefore, it is important that we all understand the value of our souls. It's important to understand that our souls are destined to spend eternity in either a place of bliss, that being in heaven, or a place of eternal condemnation, that being hell. A place of torment. We don't want that, do we? Therefore, we need to understand the need to be one who submits ourselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. And that's why we now ask the question, what must I do to be saved? That is the most important question that can ever be asked. And God's all-inspired word gives us the answer to that question. We recognize that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be washed in the blood of Jesus this very hour. You can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather that we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. We plead with you this very hour to obey the gospel while you have that opportunity to do so. All things are ready. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, it'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Maxus Lay.